You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You've seen them before, those colored ribbons that people wear to bring awareness to the various causes. Probably the most recognizable is the pink ribbon that represents breast cancer. Great advancements have been achieved against this all too frequent deadly disease, but not all of our loved ones have received the attention they deserve. A grassroots movement, symbolized by a pink paw, has been started to educate pet owners and veterinarians that the furry members of the family also need to be protected. My guest is Dr. Marty Greer. She is a veterinarian with a strong interest in canine reproduction and is also a 2010 graduate of Marquette Law School. We'll be right back and talk with Dr. Greer.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where the healthy pets go.
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/Petco and get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off hundreds of items at Petco. PetLifeRadio.com/Petco.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson. PetLifeRadio.com/Dyson to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Greer, this I think is just awesome that you are starting a movement against disease that I think a lot of people don't even realize exists.
And I have really been involved in this for the last couple of years. It kind of started off by accident, but has evolved into something that I hope will become pretty significant. And one of my comments to VIN, which is the Veterinary Information Network, is how this really began. I posted a message to VIN and said, it really bothers me to see diseases that are highly preventable still so prevalent in our pet population. And from that, this was born.
So you just decided that it needed to be brought to the attention of the public. How did you go about doing it?
Well, I received a communication back from one of the journalists at VIN, and she actually happens to be in the same state that I'm in, but she's in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm about an hour and a half from there. She emailed me back, and she said, okay, I saw this thing that you kind of threw down and said, let's do something about it. What exactly are you doing? And I went to one of my staff members who's been with me for 22 years, more years than she really wants to admit, and said, okay, here's the deal. What do you think we can do? So we started throwing around some ideas about breast cancer awareness, and we have then had it evolve into this Pink Paw program. We started off wanting to be able to let people know about this from two different perspectives. One is the protective nature of the spay, whether you're a dog or a cat, and how that prevents breast cancer from developing if it's done at appropriate times in the pet's life. And the other was early detection and the ability of our clients, our groomers, and veterinarians and veterinary staff in being able to find mammary tumors early enough that they're still more treatable than they would be if they were let progress too late. And it's important that everyone is involved in that because we need a lot of resources for those things to happen. Sometimes pet owners aren't aware of what some of the problems are, and our groomers are sometimes the people who see the pets much more often than we do as veterinarians. They see them every 6 to 8 weeks. We may see them once or twice a year. So there's lots of opportunities along the way that we can intervene and help the pets and the owners become more able to prevent the disease from progressing if it has already begun.
Dr. Greer, you're so right about talking about groomers, because I've had so many clients bring in a dog or a cat. They're going, oh, my groomer noticed it had an ear infection. And you flip the ear over, you're going, how did you miss this? You know, it stinks, it's ouchy, but they didn't notice it. Or, oh, my groomer noticed this lump. You know, she said it'd been there for, or he said it'd been there for a period of time, but now it's really changed. It's a lot bigger. And sometimes just your hands on the pet while shampooing it, that groomer feels things that owners never did.
Right. And they recognize also normal from abnormal in a way that pet owners sometimes don't. If things kind of creep up on you, the lump started small and you didn't really think much of it as it got a little bigger, or the ear infection started off as, oh, you know, it just smelled a little, or they thought that maybe is the way the dog smelled before they had a bath. A lot of things get past us as pet owners, and the groomer, because they have an opportunity, like I said, to see them every 6 to 8 weeks, see the changes, and they also know what looks normal, what feels normal, because they have their opportunity to have their hands on 10, 12, 14 dogs a day in a way that an average pet owner simply doesn't.
How common is breast cancer? And I think that's one thing you also, looking at some of the information you sent me, that terminology is so important. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about how common it is and why sometimes veterinarians shoot themselves in the foot by saying, oh, it's mammary carcinomas or it's mammary disease.
Right. And that's a big concern, because we do call them mammary tumors or mammary carcinomas as veterinarians. And that sounds pretty scientific, but to a client, they don't really understand what that means. They hear some words, but they aren't really clear on how that's defined. And if I think as a veterinarian, I say to a client, but this is breast cancer, I think that that brings a whole image into a client's mind of how important it is that they proceed with additional diagnostics and treatment. So the research shows that breast cancer is the most common cancer in the female dog and third most common in the female cat. And that's really important. According to the California Animal Neoplasia Registry, breast cancer accounts for 41.7% of all the tumors in intact female dogs. So that's the dogs that aren't spayed. It's not that prevalent in the dogs that are spayed, and we can talk about that in a few minutes. But it can account for, in a dog's lifetime, up to around 40% of the risk that they have if they're not spayed for developing cancer. In cats, it's much less common, but that being said, yesterday I took a cat to surgery and took off a mammary tumor from her, and the difference between dogs and cats are about 50% of them are malignant in dogs, and about 90% are malignant in cats. Now, in dogs, the smaller the dog and the smaller the tumor, the less likely it is to be cancer or something that's already spread to other organs. But in cats, they're almost all uniformly just very, very scary and very dangerous for the pet. So those are important distinctions that we make between dogs and cats.
Dr. Greer, you were mentioning that female dogs, female cats, but I know that in human medicine, breast cancer occurs in males and females. They have mammary tissue also. And oftentimes in the human male, breast cancer can be much more aggressive, much more deadly. Does the same thing hold true in veterinary medicine?
I, in 30 years of practice, have never seen breast cancer in a male dog. I have looked. We have had a few that we've had suspicions of because of the location and the character of the tissue, but have never seen it. If it does occur, it tends to be a little bit less aggressive than it is in females because they don't have the hormonal influence that we do see in the female dog and female cat. And I've never seen it in a male cat either. So it's pretty rare. It would be very, very low on the diagnostic rule out list if we saw a lump in that area, but always should be checked out. There is one form of cancer, mammary cancer, in the female dog, though, that's incredibly aggressive. Most of them are scary enough as they are that they should be addressed. They should have surgical removal. It should be diagnosed and treated pretty early on. But there's one form called canine inflammatory mammary carcinoma. It also has a human counterpart, and in those cases, those pets, those dogs are in very serious trouble in very, very short order. Again, that's much more rare than the typical lump, and it doesn't look like a lump when you see it. It looks more like a rash on the skin in the area of the mammary glands or the breasts, and it shows up as a red rash, kind of lumpy feeling, but not like a solid lump like you're typically going to feel. And I have seen, I think, 4 of those in 30 years, and in those cases, they should not be surgically excised. They should only be biopsied for confirming the diagnosis. And if some treatment is available, that might be started. But generally, they succumb to the disease so quickly that removing them surgically is contraindicated. It just shouldn't be done because it's so dangerous to the dog. They don't usually survive for 48 hours after surgery if that's the case.
Oh my goodness, that's horrible. Thankfully, I've never seen one like that, and it just sounds devastating. What would a client, what would a pet owner look for? What should a groomer look for, feel for? You're saying one looks like a rash, thankfully not that common. I think a lot of people are surprised. I've had, and I'll always remember this story, I was a brand new graduate from veterinary school, UC Davis. I was in my internship, went into one of my first ever office calls, and it was with an MD. The owner was an MD, and they wanted me to check a lump on this dog's chest. And I'm feeling around, and I felt nothing. And I'm feeling, going, I can't tell this MD that here I am, this new graduate, and I can't find the thing. So finally I said, okay, show it to me. I'm sorry, I can't feel it. So he showed me this bump. I said, that one? He goes, yes. That one? Yes. I said, that's a nipple. So there are many pet owners who I think don't realize that males have mammary tissue, and that mammary tissue on males and females go all the way from their armpits to their groin. So knowing that, what should they look for?
Well, that's a really good anatomy lesson to remember. And there are usually 5 sets of nipples on each side that, like you say, extend from the armpit down to the groin. And they're usually in a row, and they're usually fairly small nipples and usually fairly uniform. They're usually just a small raised area that looks like a nipple. Every now and then you'll find a mismatched set. They may have 4 on one side, 5 on the other, or 2 nipples close together. But they usually line up, and they usually just feel soft and pliable. If there's a mammary tumor, it can start off as a very, very small nodule, usually close to the nipple, but clearly distinct from the nipple, and it'll start off as a really firm pea-sized or pea-shaped and kind of gravel in the way it feels. It's very, very hard. They can then progress to something much larger or into multiple nodules, and frequently we'll see them on multiple glands. Once a female develops them on one gland, she's at increased risk of developing them that at other glands, even if she's spayed later in life or at the time of the diagnosis. So you can find them in multiple glands, and we always check multiple glands on the female dogs that come in for surgery to have these removed. Is when they're relaxed and anesthetized, it's much easier to feel some of the ones that are small and more difficult to locate. So we'll put them under anesthesia for the surgery, not for the diagnosis. And before we go to surgery, make sure that there aren't any other glands that are involved that we need to address. But most of the time you can feel them. Once they get very large, anything over about 2 centimeters in diameter, the risk of that becoming malignant and spreading to other organs increases greatly. So the earlier they're found, the better. And that's where it's very a good idea to, and what we've done with our practice is to send home stickers for clients to remember to check their dogs monthly, just like they should be checking themselves monthly for breast cancer. So we've put together a little package of stickers, and you know, we've really trained our veterinary clients very well to use monthly stickers for their heartworm preventive, for their flea protection, and this is just one more thing that you can remember to do on the day that you're doing that, is just run your hands underneath the dog as she's standing up, and go right down from her armpits to her groin along the mammary chain and just feel if you can feel anything that you didn't feel before. If you feel something in the coat, make sure that it's not some kind of little hair mat or something. But if you are actually feeling a nodule that feels firm and relatively close to the nipple, then that should be addressed. And most of them are most commonly in the dog are toward the back two glands, closer to the back legs, and in the cat, closer to the front end or closer to the front legs. So they vary a little bit in where you should be feeling, but both dogs and cats would really benefit from that monthly check by you as your pet owner to just make sure that there hasn't been anything that changed. Their glands will increase in size with heat cycles or with certain times of the cycle when they're developing sort of a false pregnancy kind of syndrome. But again, those don't have the same feel. They're not this hard, nodular feel. They're more soft and fluctuant.
Dr. Greer, this is awesome because I know I'm supposed to do my breast exam once a month and you forget about it and I'll do it tomorrow and it just kind of slips your mind. And studies have shown that the woman is the primary caregiver for our cats and dogs and other animals that we share our lives with. So this can really be a lifesaver for the pet as well as the person because, okay, here, let me feel the pet. Oh, yeah, now it's time for me to do my breast exam. So this is spectacular. I think this is just something that has been needed for so long. You're talking about what to feel. Are there other things that we can do to help prevent our pets from getting breast cancer besides that monthly exam?
Sure. And the prevention really comes in the form of spaying. Now, I work with a lot of breeder clients. I do a lot of reproductive work in our practice. So we see a different population of pets because of that. So we do see a fair number of dogs that are not spayed or in fact, neutered as well, but this pertains to the female. So we see a lot of dogs that are not spayed when they're young. So we see a fairly high number of dogs coming through here that do have mammary tumors but or breast cancer, but our clients that are breeders are very aware of what normal anatomy is, and they frequently spend a lot of time with their pets hands-on for grooming and showing and so forth. So they're probably more aware of changes in their dog's body than a pet owner simply because of the hands-on kind of nature of what they do. The important thing is that we tend to see more large mammary tumors that are already advanced in the pet owner dog than in the breeder dog. So that's kind of an interesting comparison from what our experience has been. So the important thing is that you can still leave your dog without being spayed and have good quality of life and have good longevity with even this risk of breast cancer if you are careful with early detection. Now, research, and this was done a long time ago, somewhere in the 60s, and hasn't been repeated, but it shows that mammary gland tumors are very, very low incidence in dogs that have never had a heat cycle. In fact, it seems to be about 0.05% if the dog is spayed prior to her first heat cycle. After the first heat cycle, it goes up to 8%, and after that, it goes up to 26% after second or more heat cycle. So that's a huge jump from 0.05 to 8 to 26% over that time period. Now, that being said, there's still some benefits to not spaying dogs, and there's a whole lot of new material that's coming out and available online that we can show indicates from research that there is great longevity benefiting from dogs from not being spayed early, but this is a whole different story. And for certain lines of dogs that have an increased risk of mammary tumors, for certain clients and for certain dogs, it really is very beneficial to have the dog spayed at a younger age. I personally don't like to have dogs spayed when they're very, very young. I like to wait until they're at least 6 to 8 months old, but that's a, like I said, that ends up to be another discussion that can be a little bit more complicated than where we perhaps want to go right now. And I'm going to have some links for information that will be available so that that will be information available to the listeners.
We're talking right now to Dr. Marty Greer. She is a veterinarian and a lawyer who has started a grassroots movement to help bring awareness to the fact that cats and dogs both get breast cancer and there are things that we can do. So what you can do right now is sit, stay, listen to this commercial. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart and save up to 30% on toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetLifeRadio.com/PetSmart today.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Greer, this information just really is so spectacular. I thank you so much for bringing it to the listeners' attention. And I know, yes, you were mentioning before the break that there is controversy as to the best age to spay a dog. I think I've heard that the smaller dog still it's a good idea to do at a young age. Some of the larger breed dogs, Rottweilers in particular, some of the bigger ones, to do them a little bit later. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. There's been some great new information that's come out from both health and behavioral perspectives that tell us that there are benefits to leaving the ovaries intact in the dog. There's an article in the Aging Cell called Lifetime Ovary Exposure and Exceptional Longevity in Dogs, which I think is the Rottweiler study that you're referring to, written by David Waters. Great information. And we know that from some of the other research that's been done that we see less bone cancer, fewer hemangiosarcomas, less problems with thyroid disease, fewer behavior problems in the dogs that are left intact, not spayed or neutered at an early age. That includes some orthopedic problems as well, such as cruciate injuries. So there's a lot of kind of conflicting information out there, and as a pet owner, that can be very confusing to decide what the best age is for your pet. And that's not something that I think we can universally assign a number to at this point, or perhaps even at any point in the future. So it's something that needs to be discussed with each individual veterinarian and the pet owner, but there's a lot of really great information available, well-researched, published in important journals that has some real important information in it for some of these issues for health and behavior that we will be making available so that people can read through this information themselves and help participate in their pet's decision. It's no longer just a universal, this is the age that your pet should be spayed or neutered, and there shouldn't be any exception to that. It's no longer that way because there's so much more information that's come out in the last few years that I think clients really need to be aware of.
Some of the new advances that have also come out are some of the different ways that are now available to spay a pet. In the past, it was always, of course, general anesthesia. They're laying on their back. You make an incision on their belly. You have a large enough incision that you can see where the ovaries, the uterus, do an ovariohysterectomy, remove all the plumbing, so to speak, sew them up, send them home, and life is good. But they're doing it different ways now and not removing everything. I'd love to have you address that.
Sure. There's a couple of different procedures. One of them is done laparoscopically, so that requires specialized equipment and oftentimes costs more and takes more time because of the smaller incision size. So there are a few practices, a handful of practices, that have the availability of that for clients. The other thing that's really become very interesting and was a very hot topic of debate at the most recent AVMA meeting that was held in 2011, and I was actually able to go to this meeting and listen to the lively discussion that went back and forth between different veterinarians and their opinions, and it's been published as a commentary in the AVMA journal, is when just the ovary is removed rather than the ovary and the uterus. So for many, many years, veterinarians have been taught that the entire uterus along with the ovary needed to be removed to protect the female dog, not just from heat cycles, but also from possibility of an infection in the uterine horn called pyometra. Well, most recent research that's come out and was published December 1st of 2011 in the AVMA journal shows that there really isn't an increased risk to females by leaving the uterus behind. So in many cases, that can mean that a smaller incision is made, just the ovary is removed, and the remainder of the reproductive tract can be left in place without any risk. The Europeans have been doing that for quite some time, if they even spay. And in fact, in Europe, the number of dogs that are spayed and neutered percentage-wise is much, much smaller than what we do in the U.S. But they've been doing this for quite some time, and it's finally now moving to the U.S. as an important change in how we look at the type of technique that can be used, making the recovery for your pet shorter and safer.
I know they're also working on a vaccine that is going to stop for a period of time a pet's estrous cycle going into heat. Any information on that and whether or not that is going to have any protective mechanism against breast cancer?
Well, in fact, I have used the vaccine fairly extensively. It's no longer on the market at this point. I'm not sure what the future of it is. At one time, Pfizer was working on it, and we had it approved for use in the male dog to reduce the size of the prostate, but it also had the benefit of keeping dogs from coming into heat or temporarily rendering the male dog sterile so that they would not be able to breed. So there was a short period of time that that was available. I think it's a pretty fabulous product. We had some very good successes with it. It's still used in the white-tailed deer at a different with a different adjuvant and a different delivery system to control population in the white-tailed deer in some parts of the country where their populations are very high. But it's been out there. It's no longer available, but there's probably a future to be held in some of those types of products. There recently has been re-released the injectable product that was used to sterilize male dogs without surgery. I don't know if you've seen that information, but that's going to be re-released as a product that's injected directly into the testicle to reduce fertility. There's no comparable product in the female dog, but very, very extensive research is being done to try and find a one-dose, easy-to-deliver system for dogs and cats that will significantly reduce their fertility, their ability to reproduce, so that it's a much more affordable and universally available product for sterilizing pets that are not intended to be used for breeding. So that's going to be interesting, and there's a lot of hot research being done on that right now.
I'm sure if any male listeners are listening to this right now talking about putting an injection into the testicle, you know, it's now up in their throat, the thought of, you know, oh my goodness, the pain. But as
that's
I understand
under anesthesia.
But the old product that was out, I understand, one I think called Neutrosol, the injection was not given to anesthetized pet, but it was just a little bit of pressure, as they said, and it wasn't really pain. It's like, okay, but yes, I never actually used it myself, so I can't say. One of the things I think that is just wonderful, we've talked so much about breast cancer research helping the human, but we know that a lot of that research has been done on dogs, so here we have a benefit that's going both ways.
Right. And unfortunately, our dogs have not benefited from all of the things that we know on the human side. There is no chemotherapy. There is no radiation therapy available for dogs. Surgical intervention is really the only thing that we have available. We have seen a few attempts at chemotherapy, but unfortunately, there hasn't been anything really developed extensively enough that we can rely on it to control tumors either without surgical removal or with surgical removal. And part of the problem is that it is so universally seen in veterinary medicine that Many veterinarians are very comfortable removing the mammary tumors that are abnormal, whether it's just the lump or whether it's an entire chain, and that's another topic that depends on the particular veterinarian and the particular case that is involved. But as a result, most of the dogs that have mammary tumors were never referred to referral centers for the research that had been attempted in determining if chemotherapy and radiation therapy were viable options for pets and pet owners. So right now, we really don't have those as options for pets. Really, surgery is the only thing that we can do. And it would be really great if some additional research could be done so that we could see if there were options available for pet owners and their pets for additional therapy besides surgical intervention if it's something that's already metastasized or for some reason the patient isn't a surgical candidate. And that's where that GnRH vaccine that Pfizer was using, we had been applying that to a few of our patients, both dog and cat, that had mammary tumors that were not surgical candidates for one reason or another. So I think research is underway. I think that a lot more research needs to be done. And one of the things that we're trying to set up with our Pink Paw program is a foundation that we can start to take donations that will be used for the kind of research both in detection and prevention and treatment so that we can try and control and know more of what we can do for dogs and cats with breast cancer.
One of the things whenever a person hears, gee, this friend has breast cancer, it's going to need to undergo a mastectomy, it is just so psychologically devastating. And there have been times when I've needed to do a radical mastectomy in a dog or a cat. And thankfully, these little honeys, once the incision heals and the fur grows back, they're not any worse for wear. They may just have a little bit of a tummy tuck that was done on them having this procedure. So besides the scar that is now covered by the fur, you want to get this early, of course, smaller the better. Where does it metastasize? You're talking about it spreading. Where does it spread in a dog or a cat?
If it's going to spread, it typically will spread either to the lungs or rarely to the bones. Typically, that's where we'll see it go. In the inflammatory mammary carcinomas, those metastasize so early to the lungs that there's really nothing that we can do about those. Most of the others, if we can determine that the patient's a candidate for surgery and that mass is determined that it can come off early enough, the owner detects it and follows the guidance of the veterinarian and not takes the wait-and-see approach, which we so frequently hear, then the surgical removal will prevent the metastasis, which is really very good news. But like I said, many times if a dog is at risk of developing one, she'll have them in other locations, not because they've spread to the other mammary glands, but simply because that's the way her body's tissues react to certain hormonal influences. So that's where I think it gets a little confusing is what's a metastasis and, you know, what does really it mean that it spread and what does it just mean that she's going to develop additional tumors because of that type of chemistry that her body has.
Just very unfortunate pet. All right, you've been talking about the Pink Paw program. Exactly what is it? How are you trying to get the word out? How can a pet owner become involved in this?
Well, what we've done at our practice is establish the Pink Paw program as a whole process that we go through in October. And it shouldn't just be limited to 1 month, but that's the month that we've really emphasized it the most. We've sent out mailings to our clients. Every dog that comes to our practice gets a pink bandana with the little pink ribbon on it so that they can go home, whether they're male or female, they go home with their bandana. Many times that is, again, like you say, the reminder to the client, the pet owner, the oftentimes the female in the family, to remember that she needs to check herself as well. So they go home with their breast cancer awareness bandana, their string of 12 stickers that go on their calendar. And then what we've done at our practice is then offer for the next 6 months, if the client comes back with their bandana, that they will be able to come in for a free recheck if the client or the groomer finds a lump on the dog's underside that they're concerned about might be a breast tumor, that we are not going to charge them for another office visit if they were in during October during that time period that we were discussing it. It gives clients the comfort of knowing that they can come back in. It's not going to be cost prohibitive to them to be able to have it checked out. And the peace of mind that goes with saying, oh, that's okay, don't worry, it's a sebaceous cyst, it's a lipoma, neither of those are serious, don't be concerned about it, or yes, indeed, this is a mammary tumor, yes, it's breast cancer, yes, the dog needs to go to surgery, and yes, we need to get that off. While it's still small, while the recovery is much easier on your dog, while the costs are much less because the smaller the incision, the shorter the surgery, the less expensive it is for the client to pay for, it's an opportunity for that to be the case. Now, we've put all of our staff members in pink T-shirts, and trust me, putting the guys into a pink T-shirt was pretty challenging this year. Hopefully next year I'll have a little bit better shopping opportunity and get shirts that are probably more appropriate for the men to wear in the practice. But we put everything.
But they're secure. They can do it.
They are. They held up very well. But we're putting everybody in pink T-shirts so that they remember to talk to the clients about it, so that the clients remember to ask about it. And then we're also going to be putting some video clips up from clients that we've talked to about breast cancer in themselves and in their pets. So we're just trying in general to increase awareness of both the importance of the early spay for prevention and the importance of early detection, so that surgical excision of the mammary tumor or the breast cancer can be done early enough. And then hopefully we'll be able to put together enough funds and a foundation that we can start helping with research. There are several veterinary schools and other programs that are researching cancer and the DNA that's associated with that cancer, and it would be really wonderful to be able to include not only the ability to diagnose this early, but to be able to include DNA testing in the breeding dogs that we use to be able to reduce the incidence of it, just like we are going to be able to do that with other kinds of cancer in dogs as well. There are many places, North Carolina, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the veterinary schools have heavy research dollars going into the ability of finding the DNA that links to certain kinds of cancer. And, of course, that's also information that translates into prevention and early detection in humans as well. So there's some very interesting opportunities with funding that will be able to support research in this area and hopefully be able to spare future pet owners the heartache that goes along with watching your dog have a disease that's so serious and so devastating.
Dr. Greer, if somebody wanted to learn more about the Pink Paw Program, where should they go?
We've got on our website a webpage that links. Our clinic name is smallanimalclinic.com. I don't know how I got so lucky to get that. I have smallanimalclinic.com and smallanimalclinic.net. So either of those will get you to our website. And on the website is one of the pages on the Pink Paw Program. I'm also going to have a web page up there. I started it. It's not completed yet, but it will be soon, that will have links to the articles that talk about the differences in the ages to spay, the risks and benefits of spaying and neutering early versus older, the longevity studies that have been done, the difference between removing just the ovaries and removing the ovaries and the uterus as well, which is the ovariohysterectomy versus the ovariectomy. So all those bits of information will be there. There's an article by Christine Zink about differences in behavior, increased fearfulness, and increased aggression in dogs that are neutered or spayed, young versus older. So there's a lot of good information that we're going to have there. And I'd like to put it all in one location so that people don't have to reach out and search all over the internet to try and find this information, because along the way it gets to be difficult to really put it all together. So I'm going to try and make this all consolidated in two web pages, one about the Pink Paw Program and one about the spay-neuter age differences, so that it's a nice, concise place for people to go take a look. If they can't find it there, then of course they can always call our practice and get the information as well.
And we'll have your number listed on our webpage. So Dr. Marty Greer, thank you so much for trying to bring this very important subject to the forefront of pet owners' awareness, groomer awareness, and veterinarians. Pink Paw sounds like a project that I wish you the greatest success. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
You've been listening to The Pet Doctor. I am Dr. Bernadine Cruz. I want to thank our producer, Mark Winter, for doing a great job. Please listen again next week. We'll have more information on how you can be the best pet owner possible. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.